Good morning, Rita. I'm here to interview Rita McNeil. Rita, could we begin by asking you where you were born, when you were born, and what was your name at birth?
I was born in 1930, and my name was Strassmann, Strassmann. I was born in Hanover, and I lived there till the Germans kicked me out.
Right. So could you tell us a little about your early life? What do you remember?
I was 9 when I left. I remember clearly going to Jewish school, going to synagogue with my mother. My father, I don't know what happened to him. They lived apart. They didn't live together. They weren't divorced. It wasn't allowed in those days. But I didn't know my father.
Right, at all.
So I was with my mother, and when the Germans came, took us away.
I see. And what was it like? Were you able to stay in school, in Jewish school, were you?
I was in the Jewish school till I left. And then, of course, they came during the night, took my mother and I in the back of a lorry to a camp, to Alem, which is near Hanover.
And this was in 1939?
Yes.
But you managed to escape. What happened?
My aunt, who looked very German, blonde hair up in a bun thing, and she came and took me out because I had a permit from the Kindertransport. They let me out, and I didn't want to leave my mother. I kept saying, no, I stay. You go, and I'm coming right behind you. I believed her. She never did.
And she didn't survive the war then?
Goodness. Never saw her again.
That must have been traumatic for
you. It was. It was awful.
Awful. And your aunt, did she escape with you? What happened?
She managed to go to Israel with her family. And the family all said, why didn't you take Rita with you? But I wanted to stay with my mother. She kept saying to me, you go and I'll be right behind you. And I believed her. I believed until I was married.
Is that right? You're still waiting. Do you know why your mother particularly was taken to the camp?
Because she was Jewish.
Just because she was Jewish. I see. And going back to Germany, were you aware, because you were 9 when you left, were you aware how difficult things had become there?
Yes, as Jews we weren't allowed out when the parades passed. We had to wear a Star of David on our arm, and the school was closed, the Jewish school, and I knew things weren't good.
But your mother, she hadn't any way of getting out?
No.
She was stuck, trapped there. You'd escaped from the concentration camp. What happened then?
I was taken by my aunt to her home, and I stayed there for a week or so with my cousin. And then I was put on a train to come over here. And they kept saying, your mother will... I said, no, I don't want to go. Your mother will come straight behind you. You go. So I left and I believed them. She never did.
It was terrible.
Never saw her again.
What do you remember of the journey? Do you remember the journey?
The journey, there were a lot of children. We had quite a lot of fun. Once we got going, I was all right, but I kept wanting to see my mother.
Mm-hmm. Of course she would. And then what happened? Did you go via the Hook of Holland?
Hook of Holland, and then to London, to the station there, Liverpool station, I think it was. And there, my guardian, person who said she would look after me, picked me up there. I went to her home then in Scotland.
Where about in Scotland was that?
Rutherglen.
And that's why you ended up here.
That's it. But I couldn't speak English, and I was very unhappy because I kept saying, I must wait and see my mother, but I didn't.
And that must have been difficult for your guardian as well.
It was very difficult. She said, you cried morning, noon and night, and she kept saying to her husband, this child's going to be ill, can't keep her. And he said, just be patient, she'll be all right.
They must have been very good people.
They were very kind. But the husband developed cancer, and he was only there a year. I was only there a year when he passed away.
And did she have other children of her own?
She had a son, much older, who had epilepsy. And that was terrible to see. I'd never seen anything like this before.
And did you stay and grow up with this lady?
I stayed there till I was married.
I see. And where did you go to school?
Rutherglen Academy. First of all to a primary school, McDonald's School, and then Rutherglen Academy.
And was it difficult for you to learn English, or did you find that you picked that up very,
very, very difficult, very difficult. But I had to learn quickly because nobody spoke, so I just had to get on with it.
It's interesting, you have no accent at all. So
you think not?
Well, I think I don't notice an accent at all. It's quite impressive. And what did you think of Scotland when you first arrived? Did it seem strange?
Seemed very strange. My uncle, who was also a refugee at that point, who was in London, he said, you'll see tram cars that you can go upstairs. You'll see fish and chips in a paper, newspaper. You'll see all sorts of funny men with skirts, kilts, I'd never seen before. So it was all very new to me. And it was just one of those funny things.
And the other children at school, were they nice to you? Did they think of you as a foreigner?
A lot of them. It was just before the war, 3rd of September, the war started. And a lot of them were not nice at all. They said, oh, you're German, dirty dog, and it wasn't pleasant. But one boy in particular who decided to look after me, he was the ruffian of the school, who looked after me very well, and if anyone came near me, he dealt with them.
Well, that's always safest to be yes. to be the friend of the
right.
scary one. That was something. And how long did you take before you stopped crying and began to cope with life here?
I think when I went to school, I had to get on with it, and they kept saying, your mother will come, and I believed them. She didn't. She never did. Never saw her again.
And once you were here, did you mix with any other refugees? Did they make any effort to introduce
not
you
really.
To any?
No, not really. I didn't meet any until I met Dorrit Sim because of my paper to be naturalised. I went to her, so I found her, so that was nice.
So Rita, once you were here, you knew you'd been Jewish. I assume you knew about your background. What happened to that aspect of your life?
The first Sunday I was there, the lady I was staying with said, we'll get ready for church. And I said, oh no, I don't go to church. I go to synagogue. She said, you'll go where I tell you, my lady. So I had to go to church, and I sat at the back and I thought, this isn't right. But what could I do? So I sat there and had to listen to what was going on.
And that was that?
That was that.
That was that. And did nobody from the refugee committee or anybody come in and see you and see
no.
how you were getting on?
No.
No.
What happened at Pesach, a man came and he said, I'm going to send you matzo and you eat that. And I stupidly said, how can I eat matzo on one side of the table and you eat bacon and egg on the other side? You're unclean. And she said, don't you dare call me unclean. But you know what I meant. Mm-hmm. She didn't. And I said, well, when you eat matzo, you clean the house thoroughly, all the bread goes. So that wasn't very good. So this man left all the matzo for me, and
That was that. That was the last time. Let me see.
That was difficult.
That would have been difficult. That would have been an added strain for you at the time.
It was.
I'm sure.
It was.
So once you got used to Scotland, did you forget about Germany, or was that still very strong in your head?
Very strongly in my mind, because I was waiting for my mother, and the people I was with said, why don't you let us adopt you and change your name? Their name was McMichael. My name was Strassman. I said, no, My mother would never find me if I changed my name. Thank you, I would just keep my own name, which I did till I was married.
So tell me about your education. Did you stay on to school? Did you go to university? What happened?
No, I didn't. No, I wasn't academic at all. I wasn't very clever at all. I didn't study as I should have done.
I'm sure the whole trauma of your experience would have made it more difficult to
do
that.
It was very difficult.
What did you do then when you left school?
I worked in a bank. One of my friends said, you should write a letter and ask if you can work in the bank, because people I was staying with were not very wealthy and I felt I was there and they were looking after me. I wanted to go and get a job. And they said, well, why don't you write to the bank? Because this friend of mine worked in the bank. So I wrote a letter and said, could I have a job with you? So I had a letter back from the manager saying, why do you want to work? How old are you? Told him, and he said, why do you want to work? I said, I need some money. And I need to work and help this family that I'm living with. So I was asked to be interviewed, and they sent me a letter to go to the bank. Well, I thought there was one bank in Scotland. I didn't know all the different banks. I went to the Clydesdale Bank in Buchanan Street with this letter, and they said, oh, no, you'll need to go. It's the Bank of Scotland up in George Square. So I went up there, and the manager was very kind and interviewed me, and he said, why do you want the job? Because I need money. I'm staying with these people, and I feel I want to pay them somehow. It's 17 and 6 a week. So he said, well, we'll give you a job. So I started there in the bank, and I was there for till I was married.
And how did you meet your husband?
Again, that was through a Christian youth centre, CYC it was called, Christian Youth Centre. And we went to Bothwell Castle, an outing. And I was out, we were playing rounders, and I was out. I was standing, short hair, ankle socks, and my husband passed and he said to his friend, see that girl, I'm going to marry her.
Really?
Oh, didn't know me, had never spoken to me.
That's very romantic.
So he did, he married me, and we had 61 happy years.
And did you know once you met him that you were going to marry him?
No, I didn't, no.
He was more certain.
He didn't tell me.
That's amazing. And did you stop working once you got married?
Yes, once I was married I stopped, because he was in practice then and needed me to answer the telephone, so I was a receptionist for a while.
And you had a family?
I had a boy and a girl. Girl first and then a boy.
And what was your husband's medical speciality?
Ear, nose and throat.
And by that time, you said you discovered, you realised that your mother wasn't coming back. Was that because somebody told you or because you faced that reality?
No, I had a little booklet which said that they were sent to Riga. They had to walk to Riga and she didn't make it. And if they fell, I think they shot them. So she was buried in Riga in a mass grave.
And who sent you the booklet? How did you find that out?
It was a little booklet. I don't know where it came from. You told me that my mother had gone.
That must have been a terrible shock to you.
It was awful.
And your husband knew that you'd come from Germany?
He knew. He knew. And his mother wasn't very happy about him being interested in a refugee girl. Mm. That was difficult for a wee while, but she soon got to know me and loved me, and she said, I know once we were married, I know you'll always have a clean shirt.
You can't take the German out of a German, can you?
No.
And once you were older, you said you met Dorit Sim. After that, did you meet other people who came on the Kinder transport?
Yes, I used to go to meetings, Kinder transport meetings, which was nice because I met a lot of people in the same boat as I was. And Dorit particularly was my friend.
Yes, and I think the people who came over all went in different directions.
They did.
I was going to ask you a little about your social life here. Was that primarily with your new friends through your husband?
Yes.
And now, at this stage in your life, do you consider yourself Scottish or still a bit German or what?
Scottish with German, still German blood in my veins, Jewish German blood in my veins.
Now, asking you about your looking back on life, I'm sure that the worst experience, of course, must have been leaving Germany. What would you describe as the high points in your life?
High points, meeting my husband, getting married, having a wonderful life. 61 years we were married, and life was very nice then. And then he took Parkinson's, was very unwell. I lost him too.
But at least you had these years, and he certainly seemed a man of decisiveness if he spotted you at this early stage.
Yes, we had a very happy married.
And grandchildren?
Five.
Five.
And do your grandchildren feel a connection to their Jewish background, this part of your life?
Some of them do. Leah, who's called after my mother, she went to Israel, I told you, and she just loves Israel and relatives there. She decided that she would go. And she feels she's a sailor. She's at sea in the Merchant Navy, and she's a very independent girl. So she's coming home at the end of the month. I look forward to seeing her. But she's very interested in Israel at the moment.
That's interesting. Well, it was very nice to speak to you, Rita, and thank you for coming to us this morning. Thank you very much.